Welcome to On the Line, a NOAA Fisheries podcast.
I guess I'm a semi-retired fisherman, not willingly.
That's Frank Murarkey, a fisherman from Scituate, Massachusetts, and he's talking about Atlantic cod, the fish that famously supported generations of New England fishermen. Today, cod stocks are in bad shape, and regulators have significantly cut catch limits to give the stocks a chance to recover.
The most recent couple of years, I've not fished a lot because I can't cost-effectively go fishing anymore because we are so restricted on quota that it simply doesn't generate enough money to justify the effort.
Scientists and fishermen don't always see eye to eye when it comes to cod. But long term, they both want the same thing, and that's a healthy and productive fishery, including both the fish and the communities that depend on them. To help make that happen, scientists and fishermen are working together to protect spawning cod. When cod spawn, which is to say, when they get together to reproduce, they pile up into dense formations that used to be targets for fishermen. Today, many spawning areas are closed to fishing, and the idea behind this research project is to make those closures more precise. The idea for this research came from fishermen themselves.
We thought we could carve out ways that we could continue to fish, that codfish could be continue to be protected, and then we could continue to run our other fisheries for these other species concomitantly with protecting the cod and keep our little community fisheries alive.
Well, they form these dense aggregations, both males and females, and they'll remain there for a period of time while the site is, you know, actively spawning.
That's Mike Palmer, a NOAA fisheries scientist who works on the stock assessment for Gulf of Maine cod.
And if you run a net through that spawning aggregation, they'll scatter, and the indications are from the work that's been done is that they won't return. So you may disrupt it permanently for that year, and you'll compromise the success of that spawning event.
There are many different spawning populations of cod, and each one goes back to the same site where it came from, kind of like salmon returning to their natal streams to spawn. But when it comes to protecting those sites, there's just one problem.
Until recently, we had very little idea of where they are.
That's Sophie Van Paris, a NOAA fisheries scientist who uses sound to study animals in the ocean. For instance, Van Paris's group uses underwater microphones to track the migrations of humpback whales. Well, cod don't sing like humpback whales, but male cod do make a bit of noise when they're spawning.
They produce this very quiet grunt, which is quite frustrating. It doesn't travel very far.
Cod make their grunting sound by contracting their swim bladders, and Van Paris and other scientists have deployed underwater microphones on the seafloor to listen for them. Those devices sit there recording sound for months, then scientists retrieve them and download the recordings. Scientists are also sending out these bright yellow, torpedo-shaped underwater vehicles.
It's an underwater robot, and it can just keep going for several weeks, and every time it comes up, it sends back information through a satellite.
Still, the cod don't make a ton of noise, so they're hard to find.
I wonder whether when there was, you know, there was this huge population, whether you couldn't hear a much louder aggregation of, you know, cod grunts happening everywhere throughout this area. Right now, really, it's like trying to find this needle in a haystack.
So how did scientists know where to begin their search? They relied on the people who know better than anyone else where to find fish.
We were involved in structuring the design of the experiment, where we would set up the grid of acoustic receivers, and also from our knowledge of fishing, where we thought that the codfish spawning was most likely to take place, so they could kind of scope out an area where they'd have the best results for the minimum amount of sea time.
Fishermen got this research project started a few years ago when they approached the environmental group The Nature Conservancy with the idea of protecting spawning cod. Today, the research partners also include NOAA, the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries, the School of Marine Science and Technology at UMass Dartmouth, and the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution.
So we decided to go ahead with this project. There was a lot of risk involved in it because, you know, here we are giving up our trade secrets to the regulatory agency that had pretty much decided it wanted to, I won't say close us down, but certainly really minimize the amount of fishing that we did. But at the same time, we wanted to protect the fish and see the future generations of fishermen, you know, our families, our progeny, would have the same opportunities that we had.
To protect spawning cod in a precise and targeted way, we need good scientific information about where and when they spawn. And for that, we need scientists and fishermen working together. Only fishermen can provide the detailed information on fish behavior that comes from a lifetime on the water. And only scientists can provide the technology and analytical tools to turn that knowledge into verifiable, measurable results.
It seems to me that to be successful as a fisherman, you really have to know what's going on in the marine ecosystem in the area that you fish.
Bill Karp is the Science and Research Director at NOAA's Northeast Fisheries Science Center.
And over a career of years and decades, you learn an awful lot about the dynamics of fish populations and how patterns of distribution change in space and time, and you draw on that every day. So that knowledge is essential if you're going to be successful as a fisherman. And that knowledge is extremely difficult for a scientist to obtain. So the opportunity to work with fishermen and to learn from them is very, very advantageous.
I believe that we need to work more closely, not less closely, but it's really easy to understand how fishermen can get as angry as they are and stay angry and be very reluctant to try to find commonality, because they just see the National Marine Fisheries Service as the enemy that's ruining everything on them. And in the short-term perspective, it's true. You know, but in the longer term, if we continue to hammer away on these codfish and drove them back down to negligible abundance again, we'd still be in trouble. So maybe we can find the way through this so we can have fish and have opportunities to fish and have some stability so that people can build their lives around a fishery again, and we can go back to having another 300 years of Scituate as a fishing port.
I think I'll let that be the last word on the subject, at least as far as this podcast is concerned. For more information about this research, check out our podcast website. That's www.fisheries.noaa.gov/podcasts. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next time for more stories about ocean life and ocean science. I'm Rich Press, and this is On the Line.
You have been listening to the NOAA Fisheries Podcast, On the Line. Join us next time for a firsthand look at the people and the science behind managing our nation's fisheries. For more information, visit NOAA Fisheries at www.fisheries.noaa.gov. On the Line is a production of the NOAA Fisheries Office of Communications.